Once again, to all the fathers, I wish you a very happy Father's Day. It's a tough job you have in our world today, a very difficult job, but it still has to be done. And you have the model that you need to follow as the Father of all fathers, our Heavenly Father. And He shows you the way, basically. It's a way of being just, of loving, of being kind, of being faithful, but above all, about being a good example. It may mean that in your own life you have to make some adjustments, which we always do anyway. That's part of the journey to be with God, that we adjust. That's part of the crosses that we take along with us. When we make these adjustments, it sometimes are difficult, because sometimes we would rather do what we are doing than do something that we know we ought to do. So just know that we pray for you. And we ask that all of your families give you the respect and the honor that you truly deserve. It is a tough job, but we need you. So carry on with the mission that you have, being the father that our Heavenly Father has taught you to be. A little bit about the gospel today and the other readings. I always like what Moses so many times, when he was talking to the people. Remember, he was the one who went up and down the mountain to meet with God, and he would meet with God face to face. It wasn't like he was on the bottom of the mountain talking to God on the top of the mountain. When Moses went up the mountain, he spoke with God face to face. So when he would come down, his face would have this extraordinary glow that it would frighten people. And so he learned to cover his face when he came out of the presence of God so that he could speak to the people. And then he would pass on to them the word that God gave to him. So he would always say to them, remember what the Lord your God has done for you. Remember. It's kind of like, it's like remembering history. You remember history so that you're a little smarter in the decisions and the judgments you make. That's for all of us. See, in our history today, you know, countries when they want to change government totally or want people to forget about something, they change the history. Well, you can't really do that. History is history. But they change it so that people forget about what went before, so we can go on and make the same stupid mistakes over and over again. But if we look at history and know what happened, we can learn for the future and change for the future. That's on our practical level. But same with the Old Testament times. He had a tough job. Moses had a very difficult job. You know, the people wanted away from their slavery, but once they got away from it and found out that life was not that sweet, that it was really pretty tough, very difficult, wandering around in a desert with lots and lots of people and all possessions. You're in a desert. Where do you get something to eat? Where do you get something to drink? And so somehow God provided that. And in the process, they learned to trust God. So it was a whole learning process to become a people of God. So God would provide that bread, that manna, day by day. It wasn't always something they wanted. It wasn't always something that was on the top of their gourmet list. But it was obviously sustained them. It was the nourishment that they needed to survive in that environment and survive and be healthy. It was just that they had to depend on God doing that every day. And they, on their part, had to go out and collect it every day because they didn't have refrigerators, they didn't have any of that kind of stuff. So you couldn't pack it away somewhere and save it for another day because it wouldn't last. So people learned to trust and believe that this God was really looking out for them. Well, as their history went on, we come to the time of Christ. And Christ became that for us, only much more so. Instead of being a messenger of God like Moses was, although an exceedingly good one, We had Christ himself who came and lived among us. He taught us a way of life. He taught us if we really want to have peace, not only in this life and the hereafter, if we want happiness for all eternity, if we want a life for all eternity, here are some essential things that we need to do. And he laid that out for us. Now, we can choose to do it or not do it, and a lot of people choose not to. Of course, the consequences, you can't blame God for the consequences. But our job is to listen to what he said to us and take the advice that he gave us and eat the food that he gave to us, which is much more than manna. It is his own body and blood. So that when we come to the altar to receive Holy Communion, receive the body and blood of Christ, it's just not like we're eating a little wafer or sipping a little bit of wine. We are receiving Jesus Christ into our very being. That's what our faith teaches us. That this is not some little ritual that we go through just to kind of remember what Jesus did. That's part of it, the remembrance. But that he actually comes to make his dwelling place in us. As that manna became the food for the people and the chosen people in the desert, for us, that the Lord becomes our nourishment. If we want to survive in this world today, we need this nourishment to know that Christ not only is something that we think about and talk about, but that he actually moves to become part of us. As food becomes part of our body, Christ becomes one with us. This is not a myth. It's something that we profess to believe in. So what it really prompts us to do then is to live the kind of life that he made possible for us. Sometimes it's considered to be rebellious to the rest of society. Sometimes it's considered to be an obstacle by the rest of society. But in the long run, we know that if we follow it, he will not only sustain us and help us to achieve what we are here to achieve, but he will be with us in that whole process. So that our thoughts, when dealing with whatever we have to deal with, he says, you're not doing that alone. I am with you. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will guide you. I will support you so that you can do what I call you to do in this world. So we need that kind of nourishment. You know, if we feed ourselves on, say, some of the stuff in our world today, like the materialism, we can all get caught up into that, and it's very easy to do. Because our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers, our relatives, maybe our members of our own family can get very caught up into that. You know, we'll never have enough. There's never enough. You always have to have something more, something different, something better. Our neighbor has it, so we've got to have one up them, you know, and just on and on and on. And we can become obsessed with that. If we keep feeding our minds with that, it absorbs us. It absorbs us, and that's what we become concerned about. That's what we dedicate our lives to. Even though in the process we may destroy our families, we may destroy our friends, we may trample on people that we consider friends, we may throw out all of the principles that we profess to believe in about living a good life, just to achieve that material thing that I got to have that one more thing. And the same thing happens in so many other things, say with violence. You know, we talk about our society today, how violent it seems to be. It's not just here, it's worldwide, apparently. We say, where is that coming from? Just think about this for a moment. Just think about some of these games that kids are taught to play with their little electronic games. Look how many of them are killing or destroying or wiping out, or look at that. And then they become even more violent and a little bit more graphic. And you see even older people playing these games that are, I mean, they're absolutely inhuman. They're violent. They're, you know, anything goes. I mean, just lopping off heads and limbs, and you can, if you feed yourself with so much of that stuff, would you be surprised then if you pulled a violent act or thought about it? So what do we feed our minds with? If we keep feeding our minds with that kind of stuff, how can we expect a different kind of reaction? Christ says, what you need is my body and blood. If you want to be what I ask you to be, if you want to be a decent human being who loves and respects all God's creatures and all God's creation, that somebody likes to be around, who is helpful, who is willing to participate with other people in life, to have fun with people, to play games with people, all that kind of stuff. If you want that, then you need me, the body and blood, my body and blood. And that's the reason he gave that to us. He knew that this world was not going to be an easy course for us. He knew that sometimes things just seem to be absolutely, totally the opposite of where we are taught to go. And so it's so easy for us to just become part of that, unless we keep feeding ourselves with the body and blood of Christ, who said, I am with you. You are not alone. Remember, I have become one with you through this sacrament. So I will be there to help you. So think about that once in a while. Maybe instead of reading violence or playing games or watching TV that is so much of it so, you know, maybe just pick up your Bible once in a while. Look at the readings of the day. I mean, they don't take that long, maybe a couple minutes. Begin to feed your mind with something positive, something that you know your faith life will prompt you, that this is what you need to be thinking about. This may be, it may prompt you to say, this is what I need to change in my life. This is where I've really been messing up. But we can't do that if we don't know anything about it. The Eucharist will feed us, but so does the Word of God. So does the Word of God. But if we don't pay any attention to it, how do we know what he's saying? It's very easy for us to say, you know, you see every once in a while ball games and all this kind of stuff, John 3:16. And it's a beautiful quote from John's Gospel. It's beautiful. That Christ came not to destroy the world, but to save it. We all like to hear that. But then we figure, well, that's not bad. We can do that. It's nice that he's going to do that for us. But remember, there are lots of other things that he said in there that you also have to do. And if you listen to the Word of God, you don't select what you like and what you don't like. Remember, it also says, you can't get to where I'm going unless you take up your cross. So it's not all sweet and simple and easy. You have to take the whole story of Christ, not just the part you like. Oh, he would never allow that to happen to me. Well, maybe we allow it to happen to ourselves and blame God for it. So today, as we celebrate the Feast of the Eucharist, the body and blood of Christ, kind of reflect, what does it mean to you? I know as a community, as a Resurrection Parish, the people are very, very faithful to receiving the sacraments. It's wonderful. It's an act of faith. I mean, it strengthens faith like people on people like me to see that there are so many people who truly believe they need this sacrament, that it makes a difference in their lives. But it makes a difference when we feed that, when we look at what else he said, what else Christ did, and follow all of that. It all is supposed to come together, and he reaffirms us by giving us his body and blood. He strengthens us by through this holy sacrament. He becomes one with us by the food, being the food that we take into our bodies. So look at your own reception of the sacrament. Over a period of time, how has it helped or enriched your life? Has it helped you to become a bit more Christ-like? Maybe nothing dramatic, but maybe in your heart it has made some kind of a difference. And that in itself should help you reaffirm your faith and your need of this holy sacrament. We have a treasure that has been given to us. We need to appreciate it, embrace it, use it, celebrate it, and allow it to do what Christ meant for it to do, that we become like him.